Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Happy New Year. This is the first Sunday, not only of a new year, this is the first Sunday of a new decade, a new decade. And that always gives us something to think about. If you'll be turning in your Bibles, if you would like to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Now, I understand that I may very well be about to commit a pop culture faux pas. Just a little disclaimer. But I want to ask this question. How many of you are familiar with the comic strip Peanuts? All right. Now, let me ask, how many of you are not? I just want to break this down demographics. If you're not familiar with Peanuts, anybody who's not? Okay. Peanuts was a well-known comic strip that was launched in 1950 by its creator and illustrator, Charles Schulz. It was filled with a cast of memorable, distinctive characters, foremost among them, Charlie Brown, who was Charles Schulz's alter ego. It became one of the most popular comic strips, not only in the United States, but in the world. It was appeared in over 2,600 newspapers at its peak, read by tens of millions of people around the world, and was translated, I think, into 75 different languages. So it was immensely popular. And it continued in newspapers every day until the year 2000, when Charles Schulz died. After that, it continued in syndication with reruns, and even still in some papers, I understand there's another pop culture faux pas. Some people actually do still read newspapers. But the strip still appears in some newspapers. But also, there have been a number of Charlie Brown specials through the years, most notable among them, A Charlie Brown Christmas. Now, when I was younger, it had become something of a tradition to watch every year A Charlie Brown Christmas. And in fact, on ABC Network, you can still watch it every year. They still air it. And I don't watch it every year now, but I like to catch it whenever I do think about it. It never grew old, and I never grew tired of watching it. Now, if you have ever seen A Charlie Brown Christmas, there is a scene toward the end of the program in which Charlie Brown, who can never seem to do anything right, bless his heart, everything that he tries just doesn't work. You know, he's a captain of a little neighborhood baseball team that in 65 years never won a baseball game. He could never do anything right. Bless his heart. So near the end of the program, he is being ridiculed for this scrawny, sad-looking Christmas tree that he's brought to be a part of the Christmas play. His friends laugh at him, and then they just kind of walk off to the side of the stage. Embarrassed, he cries out in frustration, "Can anybody tell me what Christmas is all about?" And then, just off stage, we hear a voice, and a character named Linus comes to the center of the stage. And Linus says, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. And he then begins to quote the story of the shepherds and the angels. Now, I realize that I preached on this text last week. But this is such a powerful text, and there are so many layers to this story and so much to unpack here. And that not in the context of a Christmas story, but rather today in the context of a message to prepare us for what we face in this new year and this new decade, I want us to come back to that story, particularly verses 8 through 11 in Luke chapter 2. But I've invited a guest to read the scripture for the message today. And that would be our friend Linus. So I'm happy to introduce to you Linus Van Pelt as he quotes the scripture text for the message today. Give an ear.
Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
I love that show. Now, many of the YouTube viewers who commented on this clip noted something interesting. As I mentioned earlier, Peanuts is filled with a number of memorable, distinctive characters. Now, there's Charlie Brown, the lovable loser, the young man he's meek, he's gentle, he's incredibly insecure and just never seems to be able to do anything right. There's his friend Lucy, who does everything right and knows everything about everything and is happy to make sure that Charlie Brown knows that. There's Schroeder, the young pianist who's like a prodigy. There's a dog. Snoopy, everybody knows Snoopy, who has a very vivid imagination. And then there's Linus. If you know anything about Linus, you know that throughout the history of Peanuts and the entire Peanut universe, Linus is never able to be persuaded to put down his security blanket. You always see him with his security blanket and a thumb in his mouth. Except he and his blanket do part ways at one point in this scene. He begins security blanket in hand. Then as he's quoting the text, when he comes to that point where the angel says, Do not be afraid. He drops the blanket. As Christian blogger Jason Sarosky observed, looking at it now, it's pretty clear what creator Charles Schulz was saying through this. And it's so simple, it's brilliant. The birth of Jesus separates us from our fears. The birth of Jesus allows us to drop the false security that we have been grasping so tightly and learn to trust and cling to God instead. End quote. The angel brought good news that confronted the fear of the shepherds. And in the text, it is the good news that Christ, the Lord and Savior, has come. Christ has come. Now, Luke begins his narrative in Luke chapter 2 by acknowledging the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus. In Rome at this time, Caesar was viewed as a god, and Augustus was frequently referred to as the Savior of the world. In fact, after he became Caesar, His birth was then referred to as good news, as gospel, that inaugurated a new era in the history of the world. An imperial decree for a census, as we find at the beginning of this text had been called, was a significant disruption to the people of the empire, to people like simple people like Joseph and Mary, as they were required to leave wherever they were living and to go back to the city of their ancestry. They had to pack up, make their way to Bethlehem in this case, to register for the census. Now, the census itself was for the purpose of increasing tax revenue so that Rome had the money to fund its programs and its wars. And Rome thought nothing about jerking people around to suit its purposes and its agenda. So when Caesar spoke, people's lives were impacted, including the lives of Joseph and Mary. And the way that Caesar and Rome ruled was by instilling fear in the hearts of those who had been conquered. In Rome, power on the one hand and fear on the other hand walked hand in hand. The reference to Caesar Augustus and his power then is set in contrast to the power of God manifested in the birth of the chosen child that night, the Christ. Luke is drawing our attention in this story to another king. He's drawing our attention to the real Savior of the world. Luke's Savior is from the line of the great King David. And his coming has been prophesied and anticipated for centuries. Luke looks to Bethlehem, the city of David, not to Rome, the city of Caesar. He lauds the humble station of the Savior sent by God, not the pretentious status of the pretender Savior in Rome. Caesar sought to instill fear. Christ the Lord came to take away fear. And that message was good news then. And that message is good news for troubled hearts today. As I said earlier today, we've not only crossed the threshold of a new year, but of a new decade. The world of 2020 can be a scary place. It can be a world that makes it very difficult for us to not be afraid. The world today is a lot smaller than it once was, and things that happen on the other side of the world can have a real impact on our own lives. And things that happen here can have a real impact on lives on the other side of the world. The politics of fear is the strategy of politicians who then tell us to trust them in these troubled times, and it sounds appealing. It sounds appealing to us to grasp something temporal and worldly for our security. And in our personal lives, there's so much that threatens our peace of mind, health issues, financial insecurity, and on and on and on we could go. And the uncertainty of our own life struggles can cause us to be afraid, sometimes paralyzingly afraid. As Deborah Sunu writes, quote, "It's easy to worry, to fear and fret, to channel our inner Charlie Brown," end quote. But the message to the shepherds that night is so much more than just a holiday soundbite. The message to the shepherds that night, "Do not be afraid," is an ongoing message for every season of life that is sorely needed every day of the year. The message, do not be afraid. Why? Because good news, Christ has come. And Christ is here. He is the true Savior who liberates us not only from our sins, but also from our fears. Christ has come to be God with us. He has taken on our flesh. He has endured our temptations. He has carried our struggles. And as he did with the disciples whose boats are being tossed about and their lives threatened by the stormy waters that surrounded them, Christ comes aboard our own boats. Christ comes into our own lives and he says to us as he did to them, do not be afraid. Peace. Be still. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. Do not be afraid. Christ has come, and he is with us still. Would you pray with me? Father Almighty God, thank you for this gospel. Thank you for this good news of the coming of Christ. The coming of the Christ who is our security, our peace, our hope. Father, there's so much going on in the world today. So much wars, so much destruction from the hands of men, from nature. Everywhere we look, we see and we hear bad news. Lives broken, destroyed. And if we were only to focus on those things that we can see with our eyes, oh God, we would be so fearful and hopeless. But we're thankful, Father, for this good news that Christ has come and that in Christ you have come to be with us. And when we are filled with Christ, our Lord and Savior, Father, we can know the peace that you offer, the hope that you offer, and our fears need not control us. Thank you for that gift. Thank you for that good news. In the name of Jesus, amen. Just a moment. Lawson's going to lead us as we stand together and we sing. And there may be real fears that many of us are struggling with this morning. As we sing in just a moment, there are going to be groups of people coming together around our auditorium space. These are folks who are coming together to pray. And if you need for someone to pray with you and to pray for you about some fear in your own life, they'll be happy to listen to your fear and to embrace you, to love you, and to pray with you and to pray for you. Maybe you have fears about your spiritual well-being. But this is the good news. Christ is our peace. He is our peace between the sinner and the holy God. And if you today want to embrace the fullness of the peace that Christ offers you, then two of our shepherds will be down front to welcome you. And if you want to turn away from that life that's brought you only fear and to come to the Christ of peace in repentance and baptism, nothing would thrill us more than to be able to help you with that decision. Whatever your spiritual need today might be, we just want to be able to help and to love you. Let's stand as we sing together.